Yeah, sorry about that. I had to share up here in my kitchen, and I
Oh.
was going over all this shit with him.
Okay. Well, good. So you're gonna educate the public servants a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm gonna meet with him Monday, and he's gonna go up with me up to the clerk of the court, and I'm gonna file in $6,700 of claims, bills of credit claims in the court. So he's gonna
Okay.
go with me Monday.
Okay. So these bills of credit emanated from what originally? Some charges that were given to you or what?
Yeah, traffic tickets.
Oh, $6,000 worth?
Oh yeah, and I've
Oh.
got 11 of them all together. See, there was a the charge, okay, and in the state here they have a charge value, and then they also have an appearance bond. Well, see, the charge value goes against the contractor's performance bond and the appearance bond, okay, value goes against the payment bond of the contract. So
Okay.
you get reimbursed when you go to court.
Okay.
You're supposed to, but the court, the judge and the prosecutor basically denied me that, and therefore I had to pay their charge out of my back pocket.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I can turn around, and since this is under the discovery rule, okay, I
Yeah.
can come in and claim both of those payments, those credits.
So you're within the statute of limitations.
Yeah, well, see, basically, I just didn't figure this out until last week, so basically, the clock starts now because of. On the discovery rule, it starts when you make the discovery.
Of the fraud. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just reading about that in one of your documents.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the sheriff, he showed up by invitation or otherwise?
Yeah, I called up there and was wanting to meet with him and take him in there today to go into the clerk of the court. And they said, well, they get the message to him, and I had to tell him that basically I'm just about to the stage that I might go out and kill somebody. Well, I
No.
am. I'm out to kill my fictional person.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a different context.
Yeah. But it got them off a dead center to come out and see what the hell this guy up to.
Yeah, we better check this out,
Yeah, of course
huh?
they know me too damn well anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because of
Okay.
all the shit that I've done. I mean, this is a small community and everything. Basically, almost everybody knows everybody in the county.
Well, that's interesting. So tomorrow you go in with your bills of credit
Well,
and
not until Monday,
oh,
okay,
Monday.
on these,
Oh, okay.
okay.
All right.
But I'm getting ready to turn around and send a certificate of live birth and a DD-214 in to do a draw with the Department of Labor at either the federal building in Des Moines or at the federal building in Kansas City for the region.
Okay.
And see, with the Department of Labor, which is really a department of the Treasury, in a sense. It's the commercial department of the Treasury.
Okay, I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, see, they're holding our labor under the performance bond
Okay.
in the Department of Labor. That's what it was set up for.
And how did
And see, it's all under contract law.
And how did the performance bond come into being?
Okay, that is the contractor's bond, okay, that they get paid from the contractor's bond, okay, is the performance bond. Just like you go out and you want to build a house and you go and get a contractor,
Yeah.
He has to have a performance bond and a payment bond in the process if he's going to cover everything.
Okay.
And then you, as the owner, would go down to the bank and draw the money out to basically pay them. And if you didn't pay them, then the bond would make the payment to them, guarantee payment to them.
Okay.
Okay.
But then that would be you putting up the bond for the benefit of the contractor, right? Not the other way around.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. See, that's in the private world.
Yeah.
But see, we're dealing in this commercial governmental world. Now the government, we gave them the letter of credit to begin with.
Okay.
By our signature.
Yeah.
So they have to take part of that credit. They basically go and get the bonds out here. In fact, they pretty much put it all against the bonds, both the payment and the performance bond. And that's classified, the two of them together is classified as a fidelity bond.
So they create these bonds, and that enables them to trade on the market. Is that right?
Right. And they get paid the interest from the bonds.
Okay.
That's what they're living off of.
Uh-huh.
And see, they have to turn around and pay taxes on that because they are really operating not as a charitable organization, but they're out there for profit.
Profit enterprise, yeah. But of course, they never do pay the taxes, so that's tax fraud that you talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be interesting to put the IRS on one of these entities and see how they deal with it.
Yeah, see, that's what I did with the damn court, going in there, you filing that 13909 form against the county judge and magistrate judge and clerk of the court and county prosecutor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it seems to me that if we can push this through, get enough people out there pushing the buttons, that we might be able to have an effect on the system somehow.
Yeah. Now, you're still down in Panama, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed. Okay. It kind of creates some logistical problems for me to, you know, do the mailings and all that.
Well, but basically, you can turn around and take that birth certificate. Uh-huh. You don't have a DD-214, do you?
No. The birth certificate I have is a copy of a microfiche. It doesn't have the red seal. It's not the long form. But I do have an apostille on it.
Well, I'll basically try and get another copy of your birth certificate. And then you can turn around and take that right. Well, you still got your passport, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can go in and basically under the passport, do a bill of credit draw against the passport.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, see, basically that passport is a passbook savings account.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. And see, you can go into the American Consulate down there and draw money out or credits out.
So create
your labor person that's on that contract.
Okay, I would need to do the non-UCC first, right? Establish the claim?
Well, not necessarily. Basically, the other people that have gone overseas basically have doubt that they had a UCC against their passport when they lost their wallet and they went down to the American Consulate with their passport and they got funds from the American Consulate. But basically, you just take a copy of that and basically I do a copy of the passport, and on the backside of that, I would just make a claim that this is coming in as a draw, as a bill of credit draw against this account, this contract account.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just sort of modify the two templates that I put out there today.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can do that. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Otherwise, you get a certificate of live birth of your document back, and then you could probably take that into the American Consulate also and get funds. I don't know if they give you $1 million down there, but they see 25,000 or something like that, possibly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that'll be an interesting experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's certainly feasible.
Yeah.
So, our last conversation, we were talking about trying to put together some kind of a guide for people, and I know Sue had sent you what she had at the time, and I know there's been a number of updates since then. I wonder, you know how people are, you know, they get tangled up in their underwear with the silliest things. So if we, I still would like to do something along those lines to kind of put things in some kind of a sequence and an order that people would have a track to run on, you know?
Right. And see, that's what I'm trying to get down to is trying to get this all resolved. And with these last documents that I had here and then the audios in the process, whether she was the one that was doing the audio transcripts or not.
It's a different girl, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody was trying to do those and get the audio transcripts of the calls back to Tom. And, some people out here, they will never get this.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, you come across pretty hard as you know, kind of a grouchy old school teacher. Some of these people. I get a kick out of it sometimes. That's like, my goodness. But yeah, those transcripts would be good. We could pull from that, just, you know, the highlights and kind of organize it and get the key points out of it and do something along those lines.
Yeah. And I completely blew this sheriff away. I mean, basically I threw so much shit at him here in just about a half hour's time that and I said, yeah, all your utility bills, all your property taxes, all your income taxes and everything, basically they're all letters of, or bills of credit. All you have to do is sign it, send them back. Or basically if you're owed something out of the deal, you get paid also. You get credits back.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you take all your receipts that you have and you send those into the bankruptcy court. That's what needs to go into the bankruptcy court is our receipts, because it's a receipt of credit against the bankrupt.
Okay, yeah. That needs to be paid.
And we're the creditor. We're the owner of this contract. We're the contract owner. We're not the contractor, but we're the contract owner.
Right.
And then we can also terminate all these contracts by liquidating the payment bond.
So we're back to the bankruptcy court, right? Rather than just giving them an informational copy?
We will approach the bankruptcy court that we are ordering the liquidation of the payment bonds for all these contracts.
Yeah.
If they don't comply, I'm looking at the possibility of going to the Treasury Department, just like the first volume of the statutes of laws. If the courts do not comply, then you go to the Treasury. And I think it might be the TT&L Department in the Treasury that we would basically do the transfer of our payment bonds over into the de jure Treasury of the country.
Okay, and what's TTL stand for?
Treasury Tax and Loan.
Treasury Tax and Loan.
I think that's what it is.
Sounds like the name of a bank.
Yeah.
Come down to Treasury Tax and Loan today.
Treasury Tax and Loan Bank.
Okay. So it's still an informational advisement to the bankruptcy judge or chief justice, as the case might be. And then if needed, I guess that would be, or he or she would be the enforcement if we don't get compliance from the departments or the Treasury. Would, yeah. Would that be correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that way when you go there for enforcement, they're already advised, you know, what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I also sent these endorsements up to the U.S. Marshals this morning and said, here, you want your money? Study these endorsements, and basically, if you need to, give me a call, and I'll tell you how to fill them out.
So in the event of a court case who brings charges against you, you're saying we could still issue the...
You take a copy of the court case, and basically, you accept it as a bill of credit,
right,
and send it back to them to be set off against the credits from the performance bond, or if need be, the payment bond.
And so my question is, how do you determine what the amount of set off would be? Because I see in your examples, there's a space to fill in an amount.
Right. See, that was my traffic ticket.
Right. Okay? So that's easy.
That I showed you.
Yeah.
I added both the appearance bond value and also the court charges, okay? The court charges are against the performance bond, and basically the appearance bond is against the payment bond. So I added those two together, and that was the number, the first number that was on there.
Okay.
Okay.
But let's say it's criminal charges. I got a guy now that's facing federal criminal charges, politically motivated and non-substantive, but nonetheless, they're there. So if he were to do this, how do we come up with a figure?
Well, he has to know what instrument they are charging.
Okay.
What are they charging? Is it his birth certificate out here that is the one that they're charging? Or is it the driver's license? Or is it the marriage license? What instrument are they, what contract are they working with? Okay, that's really what it is.
So if it's federal criminal charges, then I would only presume that that would be the birth certificate.
I would think so.
Yeah. And so then...
And basically, you've got to know that you've got millions and probably billions of dollars in that.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, you just would do an endorsement for set-off value, court set-off value.
So we don't need to really come up with a specific figure. Would that then be between the court itself?
I would try and get a figure from them. Okay. Uh-huh. In the process. Say, here, I'm willing to settle. What is the value that will settle this case?
Okay.
Because it's all in the commercial world. What is the dollar value of credits that I have to give up?
And would that go to the clerk of court or to the prosecutor?
Well, I would contact the prosecutor to try and find out what contract and what the value is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then basically I would turn around, fill that out, and then give that back to the clerk of the court. That's the cashier.
Yeah, then your bill of credit.
She's gonna give it to the prosecutor or whatever anyway.
Yeah. All parties involved.
Yeah, but because he's sort of like the account manager for that bank or that federal commercial bank.
But, you know, these people aren't trained. They don't understand any of this stuff. I mean, so how would you expect them to respond?
That's the funny thing. Yeah. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
We think they are not. But all law schools, they study contract law.
Right.
That's it.
Sure.
They don't study codes of law. They study contract law. That's why they have all the code books there, because they have to constantly go and look up the damn codes. They don't know.
Yeah, I can vouch for that with experience. I mean, they know procedure, but they don't know the law. They have their paralegals look up the law. They just do the procedures.
Yeah, they only know the basics of contracts. And see, that's what all these things are. It's commercial contracts. All the statutes, they are for the corporations. They're not for the living person.
Right.
Yeah. Now, that being said, last week when I went in on my damn traffic ticket, that damn magistrate judge, she's a fucking cunt anyway, and the damn county prosecutor, he's another nitwit. But when I went down to the clerk of the court to pay the bill, I gave them $200, and basically they gave me the change back. Well, I tried to give them their copy of that traffic ticket. Okay, I had the defendant's copy, and also had the clerk of the court's copy. Oh. They kept trying to give it back to me. Why? Because I could have taken that clerk of the court's copy, endorsed it as a bill of credit, and taken it over to the bank and deposited it into the bank.
Holy moly.
It's money.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
I'd like to see someone do that.
I didn't see it until Thursday when I came across this bill of credit and started looking at this in depth. I said, holy shit, I screwed up. And I told my brother I did that. I said, I knew that this thing had to be paid and not out of my back pocket. So his ticket's going to be one of the ones that I'm going back into the clerk of the court with Monday with the sheriff. And I just wanted him to be there to make sure. I've gone over this stuff, and hopefully he might come and see me over the weekend here because he might have some more questions.
I might
have intrigued him a little.
Well, I can imagine you have. Like I said, you know, law enforcement, a lot of these public servants haven't been trained in this, so it's all new to them. So in order for them to respond properly, they need to have some level of awareness.
Yeah, and see, they don't realize that they're working for slave wages, too.
Yeah. Yeah, enough.
And when I explained that to him, his eyes really started fucking out on that one.
Just enough to survive.
And hell, I'm making more than most people out here right now. Back in 69, I was getting $2.25 in silver. Well, that's almost $40 an hour. Are you getting $40 an hour? And I know he isn't.
Yeah.
So, basically, I was making more back then than he is today. Almost 40 years later. Or whatever.
Yeah. So, his reaction was kind of wow, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told him, hell, these accounts, basically, that birth certificate account may have hundreds of millions of dollars in it. Probably closer. Well, he's a lot younger than I am, so his probably only has maybe about 400 or 500 million.
Well, that's gonna having him understand that is sure going to change his perspective on dealing with statutory violations.
Yeah, and basically it'll give him a good understanding of how these damn bar judges and attorneys are fucking the people.
Yeah. Darn right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of good sheriffs out there, and, you know, I'm sure it's just a matter of education.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, where are we at to try and digest all this? You think we should rely on the work on the transcripts and try and pull some?
I'll try and pull them together and put them in a zip package and then say, here, put these all into the write-up. And I'll try and number them, which one should go first in the format. in the understanding.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to work that up. I sent out several stick files to different people, but I know that I got to sit down and basically go through my documents and label them 1, 2, 3, and basically start here and start studying.
Yeah, and we can kind of break it down to the core issue, which is getting your non-UCC filed, right? That's really the main starting point. And then there's
yeah,
all...
You get that you get that in your back pocket, and you start filing all of your documents by registered mail back to yourself. That now becomes your registry in the process.
Yeah, so that's the basis, and then there's all these ancillary issues. What do I do with my bills, the bills of credit, criminal charges, courts, you know, all these things are kind of come after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, that would be good, and we could include the transcript, the appropriate transcript sections, perhaps with an actual document, so they have that to look at and put it in, you know, a single contiguous PDF or something.
Uh-huh.
So that would be good. Yeah. Okay, well, that would be a good place to start. So you got, in fact, I got an email. Some lady sent me a couple of the transcripts. So, yeah, if she can continue on that path, then we can work off of that and boil it down, because, you know, get rid of the extraneous conversation and boil it down to the key points. So that would be great. Yeah. And because with that, then we could really get the education out to people, you know, in larger numbers. If they had that track to run on, sample documents and everything else, and then all the other collateral material you have, you know, is there for more in-depth study and reference.
Uh-huh.
So that's my interest, is getting numbers of people doing this successfully, and with that we can have a real impact on how business is done. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and then basically now we can fully see that hey, they are in total violation of Article 1, Section 10. Why are they? Because they're operating in the commercial banking contract and not the de jure banking contract.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Could we also bring in the fact that they're using a public office for private gain?
Yep.
I mean, that's...
And that will be filed by the 13909 form.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are all secondary issues. But once we have this thing nailed down and established in the proper position, then we can go on the offensive where needed to correct some of these public servants that just don't want to learn or honor their oath.
Right.
And that's when the fun begins.
Okay. I got to run. So
okay.
I'll catch you later.
Thank you a lot, Patrick. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.